The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
Podcast is brought to you by Alive, Bumble Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a glorious Monday afternoon, live and in full effect. Grateful to be in your company. I hope you guys are getting in tune. I'm hoping that you're in the mind frame now. That should be decent, okay? School start. You was decent for the first week. You woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:48, many of you, right? Excited to get these children out your house, praying to God that your light bill will come down. Now you're slacking off. The first week, this the real first week. You're slacking off. I hit the road late. You're all on the road with me. You shouldn't be here. Be decent. It's a beautiful day to get, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to join me in conversation. We can chop it up today and have good conversation about what's happening. Make sure you go check out my good, decent friends over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. If you're looking in the market for insurance and you're looking for whether it's bulk insurance or individual insurance, you can get that taken care of over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They're located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. If you're in the market for your taxis, jet skis, liveries, your footsies, whatever these things are, if you are in the market for the insurance, they could give you in-house financing. 3411-AFS. That's 3411-AFS. Hit them up. Find out exactly what they got going on right now. They got great packages, great deals. Always excited to kind of bring their information to the forefront. Excited to talk about these things, guys. And make sure you check them out. Check out my good friend, Ethric Bohm, or Mr. Richardson's down there. He'd be more than happy to assist you in that kind of a space. Guys, I got a shout out now. My girl, Nancy, called me. I hadn't heard from Nancy in a long time. Nancy, I hope that you're good. I hope that your family is good. I hope that everyone is good with you. She hit me up. She said, Howard, why you treat me so bad? Yes, Nancy, I did. I apologize about that. Been mad busy. But I pray that you are well. She wants to shout out a happy birthday to her brother, Brian Higgs. Brian Higgs, he's celebrating his birthday. He celebrated his birthday yesterday. And this is from his wife, Paulette, his son, Dr. Brian Higgs Jr., Brandon Higgs, and of course, his sister Nancy and all the family and friends. He want to be able to say happy birthday to you, my brother. I pray that the Father continues to be able to bless you and watches over you as you move towards that purpose that he's called you to in this life. It's a beautiful day, guys. It's sure that you, I hope that you're having a good time. I hope that you had a great weekend. Over the weekend, I didn't do much. I went to church this weekend. I tried to do my best on Saturday, but you know, it's kind of a prep week and all those particular things, right? And, well, I guess I can eventually tell you a story about my dogs. I got one of them, rid of one of them. My God, I just want to be decent. Oh, God. I bought two, right? One is such a sweetie pie, right? A Belgian Malinois. So one is such a sweetie pie, kissing her up and all. Yeah, well, you know, as close as we could come to the kissing. Let's be decent, right? So she jumps up on us. And I bought another one so we could mate. This one was an animal. I mean, a real one. Out the bush. 4 months. The dog bite my daughter. He bite me twice. I said, "What?" I trying to see if he can amalgamate and come down and relax. Not one day this fella relaxed. Not one day. I let everyone, took him over to the vet. The vet say, "Oh, I know these dogs. They crazy. You gotta watch out for these dogs." Took him over to a specialist. My guy Cliff looked at the dog, right? Cliff, the dog trainer. So he came over, he said, "No, I don't think this one would be good for you, your family." Short, we backed down to one. I took him back to his owner. to be able to deal with those particular things. Guys, I mean, listen, let's just be decent, man. Let's be decent. If you see this kind of aggression, and I know maybe as a single man, we like that. Like a single man, we could be able to show that kind of an alpha posture, and we got all these kind of, I ain't into that. You can bite me. My churn ain't been outside in months. This dog over here barking at us every day. Oh, I can't deal with that. Let's be decent in those particular, I'm looking for a Rottweiler though. I say all that to tell you that, you know. I'm looking for a Rottweiler. All right? So if you got one, 8270111, 8270111, hit me up. Make sure you pick up the Guardian newspapers, guys. See exactly what's in the papers. The Grand Bahama Power Company resorts to load shedding. The port says that the power supply should be stable by the end of this week. And they made a commitment. You see that Ian Rowland, in his particular capacity, started to talk about the fact that reliable power is a fundamental to the well-being of our community and continues on the success of the island, right? He says, we met with the leaders of the Grand Bahama Power Company plant yesterday on Saturday to get a clear understanding of the issue of currently impacting our service reliability and our plan for remediation. So Grand Bahama Power is, I suppose, the proactive in trying to be able to mediate and mitigate against these particular issues. But everyone's having these issues. Let's talk about this. Everyone seems to be having issues with power and water, the essentials for our community, power and water. We're going to have to deal with those particular things. And you know something? I want to be able to amplify this one story, because I think that this is a tale of the community. It's a telling tale of our posture and position and what we believe in and what we do here in the community. I just want to be able to talk to you about that. Now, if you pick up your Guardian newspaper, the information's in there. It says, no decision yet on Valley Boy seed money. A decision has yet to be made on the future of the now divided Valley Boys Junkanoo Group, or which faction will receive the seed funding from the government. This is what the Minister of Sports and Culture, Mario Boleg, said yesterday after the meeting, both sides of the fractured group, right? And he was excited to get it. Did y'all watch the thing? He ran out of that room, and then boom, the reporter's right there. He said, oh, I guess he got me, right? 2-hour-long deliberation. The government went in there with this sort of an idea to see if we could find unity, to see if we could find this cohesion for growth and development. They said that we went in there with this sort of an idea. Obviously, the deliberation on both sides, they don't seem like they want that. They don't want to come together. And so there's another level to the meeting, and that will take place, and that's which the legal mind. And once that's done, then the final decision will be made as it relates to both groups. Now, I don't know why. And I try to be cool about it, but I like to kind of take this in and digest it and try to figure this out. Why, after such a long time, why after such a tremendous amount of time do we find ourselves divided at the helm? When there's a time for transition, when there's a time, and this is not just relegated to Junkanoo. Whether this is the Church of God, the Church of God of Prophecy, the Church of God in Christ, whether this is the new Zion Baptist, whether this, there is a culture of indecision, indecisive from leaders as you ascend to this particular pinnacle. If someone dies, if someone is unable to kind of carry out the tradition of these particular organizations, everyone got their idea of how the organization should run. Whether that's in the union, whether that's in the new unions, whatever, why can we not find unity? This even happened in politics. Yeah, we see Branville did it. We see Loretta did it, or attempted to do it, right? We see these particular things. Eventually, the main organization, the one that's tethered to the fabric of the foundation in our country, the one that's tethered to the culture of who we are as a people, they find themselves prevailing. We've seen the PLP do this. We've seen the FNM do this to absorb the fractions. Yeah. You see the FNM now steadfast in their commitment, focus on what they have to do, just being able to observe. Oh, that's cute. The cute fashion in which those persons present themselves in these third forces. identify the leadership in those particular things, pull those individuals who have the strong leadership qualities aside and say, hey, listen, I think we may have an opportunity for you, and absorb them into the fold. But that doesn't seem to happen anywhere else. Why? Why are we so power drunk and power hungry in this country? Why? Out of 400,000 people, we can't decide to all of us going north. Well, you know, I wanted to teeter off a little bit northeast, because I believe, you know, Jesus is coming back from the east. But as I head north and east, I could see if he's coming and continuing to move forward. What are you doing? We going north. Why is there this division that exists in this country? In every subsector of our society. And division is good, because y'all like to kind of chop it up and say that this is democratic and this is healthy. It is all lies. You keep lying to yourself. This is unhealthy. This is unhealthy. That is not biblically sound. This is not the foundation of principle that we know. If you have odds against your brother, go to your brother, deal with that. If you cannot deal with that accordingly, ensure that you get a mediator. If you can't find a mediator and the mediator can't get y'all together, then you go north, this one goes south. Completely separate. This is the principle, but the concept and idea foundationally was for you to be able to unify and come together as one. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. Not necessarily in the Valley Boys, but in this mindset that continues to prevail. What will you get out of this? The government is strapped for funds. Maybe we need to know deeper what the issue was and let us decide to say, well, yeah, let them stay over so. I feel for a cultural endeavor such as this, I don't know if the East divide. I want to talk like this today, guys, in general concepts about where we are and where we're going. In the newspaper, you can be able to see that Alston named as chair for the BPL. You can be able to see that a mom of accident victim, hold your loved ones closer. Hold your loved one closer. And a man dies over the weekend in the traffic accident on West Bay Street. I think that was close to Ghost Low Bend. Guys, we're here. I want you to join me in conversation. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere for the Family of Islands. 242-300-5720. Or hit me up 422-4796. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Get right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation with Howard Grant will be back right after this. The Foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you with stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
When you jump into your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to...
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on...
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are on 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. We're here. We're going to be talking about a sense of unity for the country. And I want to be able to give you some information about what's coming up from October 1st to November 1st. We have decided to sort of chop it down. We told you that we would do that. We took it from a conversation about sobriety, Stay Sober Bahamas. We had a good conversation over the course of the week when I was off on vacation. So I pre-recorded it, put the information out there. And I think week before last, we had a very good conversation about the integrity of three pillars that I thought was necessary to kind of amplify in our society. So I took it from politics, the pulpit, and then the people. So politics, pulpit, people. And we had a good conversation. We chopped it down. We took it a little bit further when I came back last week and being able to chop those things down. But we're still in sort of a decisive posture. We're trying to be able to determine whether or not these men and women are good for us. Is it okay? Is it fine that I do this? Is it too much? I mean, just be honest with me. Hit me up, 323-6232. Howard, you're doing too much, for God's sake. Shut up. Okay. I'm not going to fight you. Is that what we're going to do? If that's what we're doing, you let me know. Other than that, we're going to take it to the house. We can take it to the house. We're going to go hard in the paint and be able to have a very good conversation, a very frank conversation, so I could be able to show you exactly what we're talking about. And to really talk to you about and kind of get you excited, the Foundation 242, thefoundation242.com. We'll have this information. I had an opportunity to be able to speak with Intel Key, and I'm expecting to be able to hear from them so we can be able to formulate, expedite, send it to all those persons to be able to gather strategic information to make a determination. But by the 15th of this month, today's the 9th, by the 15th of this month, God's spare, you'll be able to go on the foundation242.com and fill out the information and find out exactly what's what. Now, I had to do this like this. I just wanted to kind of be decent about it. And being able to structure it and ensuring that we could be able to meet all those things. Week one, October 1st to, I think is, Tuesday, October 1st. So week one, we're going to start with MPs with not necessarily no portfolio. And then the first person I put up here was someone who had a portfolio, but I said, let me leave it anyhow, right? So Mikhail Barnaby, Leroy Major is the second person that we're going to be able to hit up. Now, listen, members of Parliament, if you're listening to me, parliamentary secretaries, ministers of state, and all those particular persons who are members of Parliament, if you're listening to me, I have your letter for you. I don't have your email, so I'm going to have to either drop it off by hand or have somebody bring it over to you. But I'm going to give you an official invite. And so let me hit the formality of what this show would be, because I'm excited about this and I've been putting time into this. And the formality of it is that we're going to identify a specific date. So we've identified October 1st to kind of scrutinize two persons. Every day will be two people. We've modified our Small Business Thursdays for the purposes of these conversations, just so we could accommodate the full weight of all those persons who are going to be staying with us or we're going to be speaking about, right? So on Tuesday, we're going to be able to see Mikhail Barnaby and Leroy Major, those two persons. So you're going to have Mount Moriah and Southern Shores. Those two. And we're going to have Barkus Roll, which is South Beach, and Adrian Gibson. On Thursday, we're going to have Leonardo Lightbourne and Kirk Cornish. Wednesday, we're going to have Iram Lewis and Adrian White. Sylvius Petty, North Abaco. So it's going to go like that, right? I'm sure you don't wonder, when my MP come in? I've decided to take those without portfolio. Then I went to parliamentary secretaries. Then I went to ministers of state. Then I went to substantive ministers. Then I went to the officials, right? So you will not hear from Shannon Dawn Cartwright. You will not hear from Chester Cooper, the prime minister, the former prime minister, and the leader of the opposition until the very end. Okay, so these persons, I have sort of made this hierarchy, right? And I've created it like that so we could be able to move up like a crescendo and be able to have persons kind of dive into it. Every single member of parliament, even if you don't want to come sit with me, and that's up to you. If you don't want to come sit with me, that's up to you. I'm not going to fight you. But we're going to talk about you. I mean, I just want to be decent. I'd rather talk to you than talk about you. Let's be decent. I'd rather speak with you about your posture, your position, your ideas for growth and development in the constituency, the expectations of what can happen. Why didn't you do this? What about this particular scandal? You think that this is going to let you off? What do you grade yourself? Blah, blah, blah. We're going to have a good conversation with you. I would rather speak with you as opposed to speaking about. I just want to be decent because I'm that type of guy. I would rather you talk but be bad whilst I sit here and let me defend myself as opposed to being able to take on a position and let people levy their posture at you. Now, we're going to do this with decency, order, and professionalism. I have everyone's letter available for them. We have a scheduled time that we're going to have this kind of a conversation. We have graphics. We have everything. I like to do things professionally. I think you see that about me. I like to give formality to these things because I know that this is extremely important to you, and it's also extremely important to me. The transformation in this country can't come with me having a conversation with merely ministers. Ministers need to be reminded. They need to be able to be renewed in their thinking about their responsibility. I must say this right off the top. I got to give kudos to John Pender. He was the only member of parliament that after I typed him in and looked him up and find out his proper portfolio, his position, so forth and so on, his whole website pop up. This man got a website. He got Abaco on the website. He got all the speeches that he's made. He got all everything that he's spoken of in the House of Assembly, recorded, structured. Everything is there. This is decency. John Pender, kudos to you. You're very good. If other ministers have it, I ain't see it. I type in John Pender, the first thing pop up was this man's website. That's how you do it. You are in a different dispensation, age of technology. You got to be able to access these things and make it happen. All right, guys, give me a call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Yeah, Mr. Howard Grant.
What's up, my brother?
Yeah, what's popping?
Everything good, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I called to give you some personal information because I tired talking about this country. Don't fight me because what I said about the behemoth people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't mean every individual, but there comes a point in time when, you know, I would never adopt a point of learned helplessness, right? But this is where the country's at, Howard. It's sickening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just wanted to share some information. You're talking about your dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with dogs all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I know you have a little bit of love, because the only people that love is have dogs. You understand me?
Right.
And the country's going to the dogs, all right? The police seems to want to shoot a dog every time they come around. They want to kill someone's dog. They just want to kill something. Let's forget that. I didn't want to talk about them. Okay? But what I want to teach you is the pup that is trying to bite you and your children or bit you and your children, how old was he when you got him?
He was a baby about a month, 2 months, tops. He was the little baby.
No, man. He had to be older than that.
No, man. I'm telling you.
He had to be 6 weeks after he leaves the mom. So maybe we're looking at, let's call it 10 weeks or 12 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. He's still a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was trying to get what size he was.
He was a little puppy when I got him. And I got him, I took him out of the owner's arm.
Litter?
Huh?
You took him out of the litter from the
other. No. Well, the owner had him in his arms. He brought him to me and he put him in the cage, right? No problem. He was, everything was good, right? When I put my hand in the cage to rub him, to go bait him, when I brought him home. Man, the dude bite me so hard. I don't know if you all saw me limping. That's when I ran in the bush.
Yeah, but all right. So then another way to test the temperament when you bring him home at first, because I only keep the pups I have on my litter, or I'll get them at very young age. So what I do is the first thing what I do when I bring them home, when I feed them, I try to touch them and see if they will growl and make any noise while I'm petting them while they're eating. Once they're doing that, you have to soften them up, either by just spending time with them or feeding them from your hands to let them know that your hands are not the enemy. Because I've had some pups, when you feed them, the minute you come in any proximity to them, they start to growl. So mm-hmm. that just shows the temperament. But what the owner should have told you and what the professional should have told you, because just listen to what I'm saying and you think if it makes sense. Don't mm-hmm. talk with no professional. No, just listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get a dog, those particular breeds are very aggressive. We have Doberman Pinschers, Rottweilers. The one that you want to breed, get also is that type of dog. They bite. We had a Rottweiler bit almost everybody in the family except me. We had a Doberman Pinscher that bit a lot of people. Benjamin feeding, my brother was taking on to feed him. So I know the temperament of those. That's why I don't like them. Mm-hmm. Now, you are being brainwashed by society, and you should have gotten an American bulldog or a pit bull.
I guess I asked for German bulldog.
Because the nature of them, people tend to think they are not peaceful, loving dogs, but they are very sensible and peace-loving. I've had Rottweilers. I know they. I don't like them for that same temperament reason. Also, Doberman Pinschers, a German Shepherd, a pit bull, any other dog will be perfect. But that Belgian Malinois, that's the nature of some of them, but they are very good dogs. But yeah. I guess the female may be better. But I just thought I would share that with
you. I appreciate you,
because
man.
Most people don't even understand that. That's the way you rule out a dog if he's going to be aggressive towards the children or whatever. But
well, we kicked that one off the
dogs
island.
That we accept as being good guard dogs and scared, they are very, very unstable as far as behavior towards people. And I've seen it, you know, especially the Doberman Pinschers and the Rottweilers. I just being honest.
Yeah.
I see my mother put on a different... You never see my mother with this big church hat on. She bark and limp to the gate. And what you realize is dogs, even me when I dress strangely and I approach the gate too fast, they would look at me and growl and they'll see who I am. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm an American bulldog, a very good dog. You don't be deceived. You go and read these things. Don't let them deceive you. Those Rottweilers and Doberman Pinschers are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Bless up, yeah.
Thank you, my brother. I grew up with them, though. I grew up with them. We had one called Sally. Oh, Lord, we love Sally so bad. Sally bite almost everybody in 8 Mile Rock. Jesus! We had to tie Sally till she died. Oh, God. We wake up one morning, Sally, the inner of her thighs, like her leg, her two front legs, right? And her chest, we could see the cavity. One morning, we saw the cavity. Like the car roll over her and drag her. And then she came into the yard. We had to call the vet for her and everything like that. Man, listen to me. She was a terror. We used to let her go in the night, but she would go all the way to the road. Now, y'all don't know that the main road is a distance away. And she would go all the way out there and terrorize people all night. She eventually died, right? But she was a good dog. And so I wanted to kind of get that. I grew up with maybe about 12 to 14 dogs in my yard at any given time. Now, I don't know how all them was eaten, right? My granddaddy had pigs. We had dog. We had everything. The only thing, we had one or two cows come to the yard one time, right? This ain't my rock. This ain't my rock. This is just how he was living. Like this. But that's it, man. I just won't be able to talk like that. And guys, let's talk about this now. Let's get back on track and really talk about this posture and position as it relates to being able to scrutinize the members of parliament, their positions and being able to talk about that. Now, this may be formality. I don't know whether or not this was ever, if anyone has ever attempted to be formal and to capture statistical data and information about these particular persons. Now, what I'm looking for is volunteers. I already have maybe about three. What I'm looking for is volunteers to go to the special section of the, what's the thing called? Of the Harry Seymour Library to find out this information. The FNM, when I was trying to get the nomination for the Free National Movement in 2016, I went to the Harry Seymour Library for maybe about 3 days, right? I captured all the information from 1987. All the polling information, all the strategic information about how much persons voted in which poll, everything that I could capture. Everything that I could capture about what's happening during this election time, everything. And I created sort of this idea of why they should give me an opportunity. This is what I did. But I think in, I can't stop, and then I try to create this kind of a thing, right? I created that. I created four speeches. Obadiah Wilscombe was the member of parliament at the time. And I started to write a speech about how he has the air of a globetrotter, that he continues to go off, that his relationships continue to be able to yield a great deal, and he could bring a proverbial zebra back all the time to ensure that opportunities exist for his political organization, but not necessarily ensuring that we could even get a thigh of this zebra leg to be able to bring to 8 Mile Rock more specifically. If he wasn't in, we didn't have anything, right? So I wrote this kind of a thing, right? And it was good. Janet Boswick saw it. Never forget what she said. She said, Howard, this is extremely impressive. I can't believe that you did that. I did all the stats. You could see the bar graph. You could see everything in the thing laid out, right? It was beautiful, right? I want to do the exact same thing for every one of the constituents. Every one of the constituencies, I have a model set up how you could be able to extract this data and information. Don't worry, you ain't got to write all day. All you got to do is take a picture of these things, and then we could transcribe it later on and incorporate it into the computer. Once we incorporate that, we can identify how many polling divisions in a particular constituency. Let's take St. Barnabas. How many polling divisions? I think it's 14 in St. Barnabas, 13 or 14. We identify those polling divisions. We break it up based upon the constituency. We identify that. We have a conversation about that. Historically, it'll tell you, you can see the numbers. Historically, this has been a PLP poll. This has been a PLP poll. And it's shifted in this, it's shifted in that area. You've diminished in these particular areas over time, boom, boom, boom. I will have a very analytical conversation about what's happening from that particular state. And then we could get into, well, do you believe that your member of parliament has done well? Do you believe that your member of parliament has voted well in this particular area? Would you vote for him or her again? Are you registered? So forth and so on. So that's the kind of information I want to gather. And at the end of it, I won't be able to say statistically, based upon the numbers, based upon the call-ins, based upon these things, we're going to give this member of parliament a B+, so we could be able to identify the grading system. We'll give this particular member of parliament an F. They have failed in all these things. And then eventually we'll have a conversation about whether or not there's an opportunity for redemption based upon those persons who didn't get good marks. Okay? I pulled up some information last night. Oh, Lord. You all got me. Are you all over the internet looking for things? And I went to North Abaco. And I cringed. Can I say that? Is it okay? I cringed. Because a lot of persons don't understand decorum. Political decorum. That's what separates those members of parliament and those longtime politicians from becoming statesmen. To become a statesman, you have to have a very clear understanding of what should be said and what can't be said. You have to know how to be able to travel that line. And I don't think we've seen a great deal of statesmen being kind of groomed in our society from a political standpoint. It seems as though a great deal of the politicians who are here in the country have left them and sort of just hands-off approach. Left them alone. We got to deal with that. We often had this kind of a conversation, and we take the FNM to work for it to say that they're going to have this apprentice training and all those as potential candidates, this training for all those persons. But I think that that should come at the end. I think that it should come after you have identified. That's just me. That's just me. Y'all do what you want to do. I'm not going to fight you. I'm simply saying you identify these persons based upon character, qualities, characteristics, and capability of being able to win the constituency. For the persons that I hear you calling for Central Grand Bahama, you're then stepping over IRA. I just want to be decent as I say this. Central Grand Bahama has historically been a seat that is a native seat, that you are rejected if you're not a native. Also Long Island. You find yourself rejected if you're not accepted by the natives in this particular space. I think politics has come to a point where you feel like you could do whatever you want to in your political posture and position, elevated above everyone else, and you send who you desire from the core of your political organization and expect people in that constituency to move as you say. That is bananas. That you think you can send anybody here. And we can accept that because they were in red or yellow. My good cousin, B.D. Russell, he did extremely well. I think he ran twice. He ran in 2012 when I ran. Did he run in 2007? I think he ran in 2007 and 2012. Right? He did extremely well. Not because he's a PLP. He ran for the PLP. Because he is a native of Central Grand Bahama. And these people is vote for their cousin. They vote for their family. That's why Nico Grant did well. That's why Vernon Grant did well. That's why Julian, even though he didn't win, he did well. Iram Lewis is also a part of that community. I hear y'all want to send somebody else from afar off. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's going to be some stuff Let's talk about it, guys. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
Honey barbecue, sweet spicy or new.
Signature, hot, please.
What's your favorite?
Roasted garlic, parmesan, tastes so good, chicken.
Ghost pepper,
wings.
Popeyes.
Now available at Popeyes in Nassau.
Popeyes.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Are you tired of the same old 5K runs? Want something more? Then get ready for the Chicchani Challenge City Run on September 28th, starting at Crypto Wild. Test your strength, stamina, and spirit. It takes all of you to dodge, climb, conquer obstacles as you race through the heart of the city. Lace up and get to the Chicchani Challenge City Run. Register now on our website, chicchanichurin.com, or on our social media pages. Brought to you by Kalina, Island Yogurt, Advantage Insurance, Art of Graphics, Crypto Wild, and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company. Grateful to be out here in the land of the living. Continue to be able to pray for those persons, man, who lost loved ones. This ain't an easy thing. And I continue to be able to pray for those persons. And I get, because sobriety has hit you when you realize that your brothers and sisters aren't here anymore. Like, no matter the posture that you were in, no matter if you were sulky, no matter if you were, you know, high on cloud nine, sobriety hits you when you realize that loved ones, people that you expected to be able to see there for a long time, people that that you imagine going old together, people that I could imagine when you get 65, what you are going to, you know, you had these kind of conversations about the possibility of the future, and no longer that you see these people. The young man died yesterday. To be able to see him on the ground was crazy. The gentleman who died in the pool, I saw the picture also, not a pool, the canal. Up in Coral Harbor. That was crazy. And it hits you. It hits me. I don't know if it does the same thing for you. I think all of us are in different spaces in our lives. But it hits me in such a way that I think about the finale, like the final destination of it all. Not the movie. Sort of the life that we're living, right? Are we coming to an end? We've been hearing about these kind of, you know, these things, but now we're seeing this kind of an amplified thing. Is it just me, or do we feel something from a spiritual perspective? Now, I know it's hard to talk about this with people from the city, because a lot of us have lost that sort of a mechanism of divinity, that mechanism of connection with nature to understand some things. A lot of us have lost that because of the rhythm of life. Right? The busyness of life. We've pursued these things, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of life, and we've really lost the natural connection of how things happen. If you talk to someone from Andrus, they have a natural connection when they could feel that something's off, when they could hear the howling of a dog in a particular manner, when they can see birds moving in a particular manner, they know it's about to happen. They could smell in the air and say, okay, it's about to rain. The rain coming from this direction. They could tell you because of that natural connection that we have with Mother Nature. And then you come to the city, the concrete jungle, you're up and down, you're riding every day, and you just distance yourself from it. I think a lot of us who've distanced ourselves from it may not necessarily see what's being shown to us, what nature is showing us. And I don't know which division you are on TikTok, but there are issues with whales, right? South Africa, right off the coast of South Africa, right off to the pairing to the west coast of South Africa, you can be able to see a significant anomaly being able to come out there. You could see Japan in Japan right now, category 4 or 5 typhoon, right? Winds up to 150, 160, maybe more miles an hour. 16 persons already died from the Philippines. You can be able to see these things. You can see that something's happening. You can see this. If you're looking, you can see it. But if you're not, and you're just still kind of wrapped up in the way that life is, then you ain't gonna see it. It's time for us to understand some things now. There is supremacy above us, like it or not. I mean, you could fight me all day. There is divinity above us. There is a creator above us. There is something afoot that man seems to, or seeks to be able to trouble the waters of the natural, you know, trajectory and the path that things go for the purposes of his dark agenda. I just want to be very decent as I say this. As I look at these things and I make a determination, I continue to be able to pray for my brothers and sisters. I really do. Because all of this that we're doing right now, this don't means nothing. None of this means absolutely anything. None of this. This, hurry up, let's go to work. Hurry up, let's do this. I gotta do this. None of this makes absolutely nothing. None of this makes sense. It means nothing. It's a part of the community. It's a part of the upflow and being able to keep things together. It's a part of all these things to ensure that we can have community for growth and development. But the truth of the matter is that at the end of the day, this means nothing. 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 You drop down dead to your work right now. Everybody coming to work tomorrow. And if somebody did like you, they can buy one piece of ribbon and make a little bow, put it on their shoulder, and they're getting right back to work. They may put a wreath on the door, depending on how you are, and they contribute to be able to get that. Or if your head of the organization like you that much, they put a little ribbon around the door. But the door ain't closed. Talk to me. We tend to forget this. We've lost community. We are disposable as human beings. We've become disposable. We've traded in the idea of community for the idea of progression. And we relentlessly pursue this idea of progression like a hamster on a wheel, what we will never reach. We will never reach. As long as you labor and put your hands to that, you cannot get rich, the riches that you're looking for. You cannot get rich, not with these two hands. You could merely survive with these two hands. But if you don't find conglomerates to be able to get together and find community that has a core purpose and objective of being able to build for legacy into the future, we will all die a very hard and painful death. I just want to be decent as I say this. And you may think community as it relates to the Bahamas, but I mean community in your family. My God, y'all ain't even talking to your family. There's some cousins I don't bother with and some uncles and things like that I don't bother with. Because in my mind, they're stupid. I just won't be decent as I say this. Not in a bad way. Yeah, you can't. They ain't getting away with these people. But there are some people who've broken off relationships for petty things and haven't gone back to reconcile those relationships, but believe that you can see God's face. I don't know how, my God. How are we getting this conversation? But anyway, I just saw these things in the paper. And it's take me back to the finality, the finite nature, the sensitive nature, the fragile nature of life. And I'm not here to scare nobody that we can die. But I'm at least here to say that, have you considered your contribution beyond your hands, survival, and occupation? Have you considered that there is a purpose for you beyond your survival? Have you considered that your contribution to the growth and development of our community means more than just merely going to your job? That we all have a significant part to play in being able to shift this country and shift this community. That's what I'm here for, man. That's what I'm doing. I am eager and I can't sleep. Nobody paid me for this. I can't sleep by being able to sit down and try to figure out, Lord, is this what you want me to do? I sit down in the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I on my phone and I type in and I research in information and I piecing together these concepts and ideas to hope to God. I don't expect everybody to fall in line, but to hope to God to trouble the water in somebody's spirit to move towards making some things happen in this country. I need you. We need these people to teach. You see me sit down here with Devin Rowe the other day, Ambassador Devin Rowe. And as he started to talk about these things, the first thing is, well, why are you teaching people about this? Why are you teaching people about this? Oh, don't hoard the information. Let's teach people about it. Yeah, we can get paid for it. Don't worry about that. Let's teach people about this. Why are we having some good Bible studies so people can learn? They don't want to learn what traditional Bible teaching gives. They want to learn some different stuff. They want to understand some things. Why are we not having, why are we scared to look in the book of Enoch? My God, how are you getting deep? You're getting deep. Why are you scared? Why are you scared to look in these things? If we not study to show ourselves approved, why don't we search out information to understand and solidify ourselves? Why aren't we teaching? Why aren't we teaching financial literacy? Why? Why aren't we teaching these kids about empowerment and opportunities? My daughter's graduating next year. She's so excited about it. She needs to calm down. She's so excited about it. I'm graduating. Daddy, what did you do? And he's, oh my God, just calm down, baby. Just relax. She started to talk about, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. And these kids don't want to do it. I said, listen, baby, the first thing that you do, what you need to learn to understand is find someone that can be able to influence the body. So have a workshop, have a seminar. Bring this person in or these people in to have a conversation about these things. Teach these children when they come out of school. Now, you don't know this either. But when they come out of school, my God, you're going to have to work. I see these boys today, this morning, and then we can go to commercial break. But I want you to join me on the other side. These boys this morning walking outside there with their shirts, just iron. They got their shirts ironed in the back of them. Walking, they got the shirt on the hanger, iron, stiff, all the starch in their mother house, stiff, getting to school dead slow. They don't want their pants to get wrinkled. I say, boy, when they start working, they can shake that dirty pants out of the laundry. This good, man, because you're lazy and you didn't have to pay when you're in your mother house. But when you find yourself in a position that you have to take care of yourself, a great deal of the things that you've become accustomed to, don't forget that. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about being able to contribute right where we are, educate right where we are. This is only 400,000 people. This ain't nothing to talk about. If we start to dissect and to divide, we can understand it's even less than 400,000. We got to get back on track. Quick commercial break, get to news, be right back after this.
The foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
The Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Beautiful Monday, September 9th. We're celebrating your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Hoping that you have a good time during this particular time of your life, man. Listen to me. I don't know, man. I just feel like I just get deep with y'all, and I don't want to do that. I want to be able to give you what I was designed to come here for in terms of what I was required to come here for. But there's some things happening, man. there's some things happen. And if you don't see it, then I can't fight you. If you don't see it, then I can't fight you. If you're content with lousy leadership, then I can't fight you. If you're content with this sort of an idea that you pay a little piece on your light bill, you pay a little piece on your phone bill, you pay a little piece here and hope to God that you have enough food, enough money to last till the end of the month, and then you start it over again, I can't fight you. If that's what you're good with, if this is what you think living is in this society of 400,000 people with access to over 10 million tourists that come here and we celebrate, that we've identified the disproportion that exists in this country, that per capita, that we are making so much money, but my God, that ain't in our pocket. That's based upon our proximity to these rich people. That ain't got nothing to do with us individually who live over the hill and in the core of the city. If you're content with it, then I can't fight you. I can't. If you are content and don't think about the fact that if something ever was to happen, we can't feed ourselves after 3 weeks on this island, that we will act like wild beasts and buffaloes trying to be able to get tuna and sardine out of the... See, I can't fight you because you ain't thinking about none of these things. All you're thinking about, how I got to get to work on time so I don't get cut this week. This job, but only paying you $260 a week. But how about what you want me to do? Sell my body? No, that's not what I'm saying. We've not placed a demand on our leadership. We've not placed a demand and a requirement for us to be able to live in a better position. We've not. And the only way you could realize that they are below, they are not meeting the mark. They are falling below the mark every single time. The only way you could identify that is if you scrutinize them and you write it down. You got to write this thing down and make the vision clear. That every man, every successive generation, every concept and idea, every foreigner that comes in, every man that see it could run with it. They could know that this is the posture, this is the position, this is the expectation, and this is the trajectory. Every man. See, but if you're all content living like that, if you're content with just being able to get a couple tips to, oh my God, we could buy a bottle of Hennessy this week. If that's your contentment, I can't fight you. That's your life. It's your lifestyle. If you content squeezing, well, you know, I need only $40. That's what she required. If you content with living this lifestyle that you call life and meandering to that open hole in the ground, then I can't fight you. But someone got to tell you that it don't have to be like this. Someone have to say this to you. Your politicians would not tell you this. Many of them are baptized into a concept that they never imagined that exists in this country. Many of them are now being able to hold hands with brethren to take them up higher, a little higher in our society that we don't know anything about. These things that happen behind a cloak, behind a curtain, behind closed doors, we have no idea. And men are becoming, they're content in their position. There's no pursuit to success. There's no pursuit to a remedy. There is a pursuit, relentless, hot pursuit to contentment. That's all this is. You just won't get there. Just let me get in. Let me get in, baby. That's it. You perpetuated the idea of let me do my eight and skate. That's all you want to do. You just want to do the bare minimum. And you're trying to figure out why your children's so lousy. All you did was the bare minimum. That's all you did. You were programmed to do just enough to get paid. You allow people to say to you, hey, watch yourself down. Watch yourself. When they see your talents and things like that, they come for you. So you shut yourself down so you could be able to keep a job. Rejecting the talent that you were called to. You, but if this is you want to live it, that's, I can't fight you for this. If this is how you want to live. But you're yelling at your children and you're calling them stupid and lazy. And then you're trying to contrast how you was when you were a child and looking at these children. But you don't know that there was a principle that's happening here greater than this you should also do. So if you was a big lazy person, your children would be greater and lazier than you. My God, that's just a principle. That's just how life is work. That's just how life is work. That you don't want to bend the tree and then you won't cry out, oh Lord, no God, Jesus, not my good son. He never been good a day yet. Every report card can tell you that. But this is the contentment that you want to live in. This is the land that y'all want to live in. This is the Bahama land that y'all want to call paradise and carry the man for dinner when he come here after looking at the Bahamas in outer space and then come down here and saying it's shimmering. And when he go to dinner, this the same lackluster, lackadaisical, lazy, no good at natured people that you will meet. This is who we are. This is what we enveloped and developed in our society. I ain't no better than y'all. I come from y'all. But oh God, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't care. I ain't had no say on how I get here. But how I can go out, I have a say on that. I had no say on how I got here. I have no say on what my father and my mother did or didn't do, what my environment provided or didn't provide. But my God, I hear now. I hear now. And I got my own children. And with this knowledge and the pursuit of even more knowledge and information, I can do my best to try to get out of this dark hole of poverty and depression, this PTSD that we have in this country. And it ain't only for whites, it ain't only for blacks, it's for whites also. We are going through hell. And our politicians, many of them don't have the courage to make a decision for the growth and development of the country. They make decisions for the longevity and shining a spotlight on their political organization. They make decisions to ensure that their agenda within the confines of their organization is executed. They have rejected the body of the country entirely. As we cry out and we thirst for water, the water of transparency, honesty, a true source for us to be able to move towards, they feed us vinegar and say, no, this can be good. You could also use this to clean your chicken with. That's what you want. This is good. What happened is that if you leave it out in the night, it'll distill, and then that water that vapors on the top, then you could lick that, and then you'll quench your thirst. That's going to be fine. You fall for the agenda. It's time, man. This is what I have. This is what I got. I got this little space, the little space between 12 and 2 to have a conversation with you to say, my God, let's wake up. I out here doing with a little piece of my wife money and my children money. If I could feed little somebody, I can do that. If I could bring you on the show free to talk about how you can help other people, I can do that. I can do that because our time is coming to an abrupt end. We ain't gonna be here forever. We're not gonna be here forever. We're gonna have to make the most out of it, and we have to look at a greater objective to move our. I ain't got no time to be playing with y'all, man. I don't have the time. I see some pastors and some other persons will hit you with this kind of the pleasantries and what God is getting ready to do. God ain't into that. God ain't into none of that. He getting ready to turn his back on these people because guess what? No one has any remorse. We ain't carrying it. We don't carry a desire and go before God and ask for repentance. We don't care. We're content. But then everybody in the same bracket. Everybody in the same. Let's wake up, man. Give me a call. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence. 242-300-5720. Hit me up. 422-4796. This is Howard. You're waking up the cicadas. That's the little insect. That's a bunch of the little insects. You know that. So the problem is that they only eat. They're only eating. Reproducing, and then they're going back to sleep. We need the people willing to work and wake up and execute, squashing the cicada if need be. Who willing to take on the hard work because the noise making time is finished. I like the test. This is Howard. If you drop dead on your job, they send a couple of fruit baskets and a case of soda for the funeral. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. It says, Howard, there was division in heaven. Do you not think division would not exist here on earth? What do you mean this is not biblically sound? There's an approach that we take for these things. And let's not skip against the process that happens prior to the division. The process that happens, whether it was with Adam, whether it was with the morning star, Lucifer, there was a process that happened, and this is the state and position of judgment after you've executed your desire. There is an opportunity for being able to reconcile. I don't want to go into no Bible study with you, but there's always an opportunity for reconciliation, an opportunity for you to be able to be transparent, to say that this is where we've come from, and this is where I desire to go. But many a man has taken on his own egotistical concept. How is it that the Valley Boys ain't bigger than no one man now? How is it? How is it that the legacy of an organ to call us here for and talk about how his mother was the first person to contribute to that, how the Valley did that, how the prime ministers like to shake their bells for that and dance up for these particular things, this organization that meant so much that I never know nothing about, that we were willing to get beat up in Grand Bahama to catch a flight over here, that we don't even know where to stand for Junkanoo, but we won't get that feeling. How is it? How is it that this organization, the only organization in the country, not the only entity, I don't mean the Valley Boys as an individual group. I mean Junkanoo as a cultural phenomenon, right? There's sort of an idea that pulls doctors, lawyers, gangsters, prostitutes, junkets, alcoholics, cokeheads, everyone together and unify their voice towards progression and growth. Unifies their voice towards a goal and an idea. How is it that the one thing that could bring people in together in this country is now being sought to be tore asunder? Can I say this? How is it? That's all I say it. That you don't see it like that, I don't know. That you just see it as man getting... How is it that we could sit around this table and know what the Valley Boys have done for all of us in our lives? The contribution, the exposure, the opportunity. There are men that sitting around this table that started off pacing and was given an opportunity by someone who were in prominent position and afforded an opportunity to be able to grow. There are men who are strategically in our society that understand a great deal of things from organizations such as this because of the mix of people that was there. Because you are able to rub shoulders with people at the very core of vulnerability. They show you who they were. They came in there. They sat amongst your funk when you didn't bathe. Not because you didn't want bathe, because you didn't have the access. Or maybe because you were alcoholic, but they sat here and we had conversation. We understood about tribulation that brothers were going through. We became family in this space. But y'all forget all that. Why do we forget these things? That's all I say to you. That's all Howard's saying. Why do we forget who we are and where we come from? That's a problem that we have in this country. Every successful man and woman in this country who came from somewhere, the first thing that they do when they come on this show with me or any show that I sat on, and the first thing they do is always pay homage and give acknowledgement to the man or the woman that assisted them when they were nothing. Every single one of them. Craig Flowers, the first thing he did was thank somebody who assisted him when he was nothing. That's the first thing that they did. Every single one of them. But it's lost in translation. That now you've elevated yourself in this position and you forget the responsibility that you have to being able to pay it forward. Not necessarily pay it back, you know, but pay it forward. And allowing persons to be able to speak high and mighty, loftily about you and your contributions that you've made. Because life is just a cycle. And you do not forget from whence you came. you do not forget your humble beginnings. The Valley Boys should do away with this kind of a fight that they're having, whatever they're having.
I'm going to read this text for you. I'm going to tell you, Howard, this looking like three straight for the Saxons. Thank you, but George, you're making it. Do what y'all want to do. That's all right. We can win this again.
Yeah, man. The Saxons, the Valley Boys, One Family, the Roots, all these things, even Genesis now, all these things discharge those family islands. That's what they do, man. Your brothers and sisters in the north, in the south, over there to the east, it charges them. It charges them. Because to know that there is synchronicity, to know that there is unity, to know that there is one voice that exists in the city of Nassau, you push for that. You want to contribute to that. You do your best to be able to find yourself to get to a position for that. And then you realize something. Oh, this is a joke. Y'all didn't show me that. Man, when I was in Grand Bahama listening to y'all on the radio, y'all was so smart. Oh my God, these people are so articulate. They're so smart and insightful. I just want to be able to sit down there and meet these guys. And many of y'all disappoint. When I introduce myself to you to be able to find out, the first thing you bring and put on the table is your perversion. That's the first thing you want to do. How much woman you got out with? Miss Gally got. You have any outside children? They want to know about... I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. I come over here to be fed information on how to be able to see my country grow. The first thing they will ask me is, but sweetheart, they need to stop. But this the country we live in. This the country we live in, guys. The line's open if you want to be a part of it. It's a text. So he says, Howard, don't let the Valley Boys drama distract you from the fact that it's still Roots in the morning. Okay, I'm not going to fight you, my brother. So Howard. So Howard, you refuse my call. The Valley would be calling me now. This is Sparky, right? Sparky didn't refuse your call. Didn't refuse your call. He called today? All right. Let him through. That's fine. I didn't refuse the call, Sparky. All right? That's fine. All right? So let's be able to talk about these things. This is Howard. Iram Lewis has plenty family in Central Grand Bahama, but we don't want him. He is a loser. Oh, Jesus, God Almighty. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. Maybe I should not have read that so loud and so strong. There have been some challenges. I've understood that there are some significant challenges coming out of Central Grand Bahama. I understand that there are some significant challenges being able to come out a few constituencies. I want to be honest with you. And as I identify those things, I'm not going to use this time to chop it down. When their time come around, we are going to chop them down. We're going to deal with it accordingly. Sparky, call back if you want to be able to call back and we can be able to do these things. That's him? Go ahead, Sparky.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
You see, Howard, if you remember, I've been talking about this a long time.
This division in the Valley Boy?
A long time ago. And I've been asking these fellas why they didn't just have a meeting. Like 85 to 95% of the group been asking for this meeting. I remember the first meeting in St. George's schoolroom when Gus Cooper was the leader. And they had a meeting to decide they would put Gus Cooper as leader for life, and then they start electing chairmen and stuff like that. Hello?
I'm right here, Sparky. Go ahead.
Okay, then they started that process. So it appeared that the Valley Boys had belonged to Gus Cooper and a certain group of people that managed the Valley Boys and all the rest of the junkanooers who worked their butt off day and night in the shacks at the end of the victory or whatever it is. All they got was some Kentucky Fried Chicken and some Kalik. The rest of the fellas was diving into the money for years, but the sponsors gave into the group. And that's what they was going on with. And for years, that's when Brian Adley, and then Michael Foster, them started fighting for who's going to be leader I'm the chairman of the Valley Boys.
So this is about money then? That's what you're saying? This is about money?
And then Trevor and the boys say, hold on, we supposed to have a meeting, whatever the Constitution say, every so much years. And for the longest, they've been asking Brian Adley to call the meeting. He refused to call the meeting, which left a certain group of people controlling all the funds and everything in the Valley. And people like the regulars, they just go in the shack every night, some of them spending on their own money to buy feathers and tricks and beautify their costumes to try win for the namesake of the Valley Boys. But at the end of the day, them people who are there, the little girls and boys and women and stuff, with their children all night, at the end of the day, all they get out of the deal is say, we won. We
got
to Kentucky and give us a couple of Galick beer and some Guinness.
Well, so let me ask
they
you this question.
Enough of that. We need to get a meeting. All it's supposed to be with this meeting with this two fraction is to have an election for the people.
Sparky.
That's somebody come my car window.
Hold on, Sparky.
All this is to have a meeting for the group to elect a leader.
But that shouldn't happen amongst leadership. That should happen amongst the body.
That's what I'm saying. It appears.
Why the body, the 1,500 or so or more persons who are part of the Valley, why only 10 people, 12 people, 14 people in this room?
See, that's the problem right now. Why only a certain group of what they call a committee stay in position for years and years and
years?
Let's
get fixed. This is light stuff. You get a lawyer. You identify these things. You pull the 1,500 people together, however much persons in the Valley Boy. You say to them, if you want to be a part of the Valley Boy, it's $100 registration per year. The $100 registration will give you a card to identify that you're a part of the Valley Boy. We give you a picture. We view these things. We put you on the registration. Based upon the years that you are part of the Valley Boy, we're going to be able to make you, let's say, a quote-unquote stalwart or a quote-unquote meritorious council member that you could be able to get a vote. So we have an internal grouping outside of the group. And then what you do is you say, we can have a convention, a one-day convention for everyone. We can determine who is going to be the leader of the Valley. That's democracy. That's how these things should go. Not 12 people making the decision for all us. That's democracy. Because when I had to put my $1,500, $2,000 for my outfit, for my this, for that, all these things and that, I ain't recouping nothing. And I don't eat chicken. I ain't recouping nothing. This ain't hard. This easy. Put it to the body. Now, you just don't know who is a Valley Boy or not. You make sure these people has paid up to $3,000, some of them, just for that one night in Junkanoo. They got money. They can figure out how to get the money. You charge $100 a year. $100 minimum. Because you need money. For those persons to be able to participate in the Valley Boys, and they have a voting privilege. This is easy stuff. You'll just make it difficult in life. This is easy. Quick break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a call. I didn't know. So it fall down to money. It's only money. Now you don't want chicken no more, you want money. Okay. We can fix this. This light stuff. If you have a constitution, then you identify how do we be able to ensure that we can break up the monotony of the autonomy being held by one person? How do we break that up? We identify those persons and we slice it up accordingly. That's simple, that ain't hard. That's simple. You identify and stipulate who is a valley boy. Who's a valley boy? If you're a valley boy, you go pay $100 to be a part of that. Be a part of the organization. Yeah. You identify your 40 core group members. And if you want to be able to put the names of persons who decide that they want to be able to participate in the valley boys organization, you have to put it through those 40 persons. And we decide whether you ascend to these things or not. Come on, this is not difficult. You've seen models in the society about this before. This is not difficult. There's no difficulty in this. This is simple. We put complexity where it ain't. How is it that 20 men get to make a decision who's going to rule all of us? I don't know how much men is in this room, right? But they get to make a decision who's going to rule all of us without taking this to the body. Take it to the body. And then let them campaign. Look, yeah, you know, this is what I would like to do with the Valley Boys. I want to give you all opportunities to be able to go off to the United States of America. You know that I forged significant relationships in South America and all these particular things. We're going to take the Valley Boys to the world. And I believe if you afford me an opportunity for a 3-year stretch to be able to execute these things that I envision, I think that you're going to see the organization flourish. Afford me an opportunity. You know what I've done in the past. You know, and this is what the ideas that I have for the future. Give me your vote. Secret ballot, so you don't have to know who you vote for. Nobody need to know who you vote for. Secret ballot. After you go through the secret ballot, you come out victorious. And with 328 points, bam, that's it. You've gone through this before. You've gone through this before. Take it to the body as opposed to the idea that you have in your mind that judgment exists within these three people. Because that's what you do in Junkunoo. You get three judges. You'll need to shift that model in Junkunoo also. Yeah, you'll need to shift that model in Junkunoo. This ain't hard. Shift that model in Junkunoo. Register your telephone. Register yourself on the app. Identify who your organization is and grade it. Sit down there at Junkunoo. Drop on your phone. When the Valley Boys come through, you could be able to grade it. How was the music? Boom. How was the sound? Boom. How was this? Boom. What do you think about the costume? Boom, boom, boom. You grade it. Take this power from these people. That's what's wrong with this country. Y'all, this is an old style of thinking. Give the power to the people. Somebody sitting down there every single year, Junkunoo come out, somebody say, oh, they rob us. They rob us. They rob us. All you want to say. That's what you want to sing that song. But nobody think of how to be able to take the power from three individuals. These people got all kind of ulcer right now because they hope they was doing the right thing. They are susceptible for being able to be bribed by one person or another. Take it from them. And take the power from them and give the power where it belongs to the people. Through accountability and transparency. That ain't hard. That's light work. There's a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Howard Grant.
Hey, my brother, what's happening?
I've been on before the break. You had me scared.
What's happening?
But listen to me. I heard somebody before the break said something, but they said that Gus Cooper was going to be the leader of the Wally Boys for life.
That's what Sparky was saying.
Well, listen to me, yeah? You would be a fool if you'd be in an organization like that. I wouldn't be in a church if I hear a pastor say he's a pastor for life. I wouldn't be in a marriage if my wife could talk, but she could be, and that's God now. You think I could be in a junk in a group?
I need you to fix something for me. You wouldn't be in a marriage if your wife fix that for me. I don't understand what you're saying.
Some of them wife, they can't be with a whole life. Some of them.
But that's the vows you take.
Wally Boys was the most organized Chokunu group in the Bahamas at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you talk about the Wally Boys. You talk about the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, the big time people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now look what the Wally come to.
I can't see how all these big time people doing what they doing.
All the prime minister, all of this, all of that. But listen to me, Brother Grant.
Mm-hmm.
The Wally Boys had roots came out of the Wally Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigal Son came out of the Wally Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I said the Swan and Colors came out of the Wally Boys. They tell me Colors came out of roots. So if your son have a child, that grandchild ain't come from you.
Yes, a great child, great grandson.
Okay, that come from you. Okay. So all of these Prodigal Sons come out of the Wally Boys. Yeah. All of these groups came out of the Wally Boys, you know.
Well,
and look what the Wally Boys now fall back to.
They can modernize them.
Organizing them. The Wally Boys have Jungle Shark without a bathroom. Colors them have a shark off the Malabar Highway there with bed and they made a tire they could go lay down. Get fridge and stove. Colors a big group.
Mm-hmm.
The grand child of the Wally Boys.
Well, you know,
the Wally Boys themselves said that people on the side of the bush to go.
Your children can do better than you. Yeah, well, that's, and I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. Thank you so much for that. But you make my point. My point is that leadership got to come in and say, this is how we're going to reform to get ourselves to a position of a world-class organization. It's simple. Listen, I know you're listening to me. This don't make no sense what you're doing. The entire country got to see you and your problems and your issues and your tribulations that you're going through. You ain't got to do that no more. You ain't got to do that. We can fix this. Simple. You got construction workers in there. You put some things aside. You say, okay, as an organization, after all the monies that come for the registration, the $100 fee that everyone pays for the registration, what we're going to do is fix this, this, and this. Boom. That's it. Simple. We're going to be able to fix the roof. We're going to fix this. We're going to fix that. And we're going to do all these things. Whatever they got to do. I don't understand. I don't understand the complexity that man puts to things. These are simple things. This indecisive posture that we have says to me that there's a problem with leadership, point blank. And maybe that's where this issue came from. That we're no longer living in 1908. And you think it's okay for me every time the wind blow to smell some rank scent coming through the window. That's crazy. That's bananas. That we must endure while they're trying to pace these things. Even the development of your actual clothing and the costumes that you wear have evolved. Why haven't your mindset evolved to be able to get us to a better place? It's crazy. Telephone call on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Grant. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. Just calling with a comment regarding this fiasco with Wally Boys.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Every generation is supposed to be better than the one before.
Yeah.
And yes, they are, those who are involved at the top mm-hmm. are making it appear to be more difficult to resolve than it really is. But, you know, when you think about man, and I'm not talking about the gender, I'm talking about the human being,
mm-hmm.
whether it's female or male,
mm-hmm.
we have our egos involved,
yes.
you know. So those types of things, I believe, is what's staring this, really. Nobody wants to say, well, okay, let's compromise and let's see how we could resolve it. But also a comment to the caller before, prior to me. And I heard this said on another talk show earlier today. It's a disgrace. Valley Boys, it's a disgrace. I don't think it's a disgrace because all it is a disagreement. Now, yes, it probably didn't have to escalate to this.
Agreed.
But when we think about it, it's not the Valley Boys, the organization, you know. It's the individuals who are involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why you probably still have some shacks without bathroom, because not because you put somebody in leadership that means that they are a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that doesn't mean they have a vision for the organization or the group. All that means is at some point they were elected. I believe we should be looking at it when we do the election for the Valley Boys. It should be looked at just how we're trying to get the Bahamian voter to look at things. You know, stop voting party. But we don't want them to vote, oh, just because I like the person. No. What is it the person is saying? How do they want to develop the group? You know, how are we going to now become a community group? Because when you listen to the other groups talking, they're not just taking the seed money and just putting everything into the accessories and building the costume. They're also giving back.
Mm-hmm.
They are also giving back. But I believe if we put our egos aside, then they'd be able to resolve the matter.
I like this call. Thank you so much for your telephone call. I appreciate that. I think it was well-rounded and methodical in the approach of being able to talk about that. I think it's important that we understand that if this group, if Junkanoo is so magnetic in our country, if it pulls everyone out of the woodworks, I see pastors wrestle with this. I see pastors wrestle with the idea that there may be an element of idolatry in it, right? That the cultural experience that we have, and there may be an element of worship in this, but not worship unto God. I see them wrestle with this. I see them, oh, I don't go to Junkanoo. I've watched, over the years, I've watched it. And then I've also seen clergymen being able to have Junkanoo in the church. Talk to me. They wrestle with this. We love this thing. This in us. We little children beating on the table. This in us. If this has this level of gravitation and magnetism, then this could also be the point and position where if there's reform in the Junkanoo organization, there could be reform in the minds of those persons and then eventually be reform in our community as it relates to the elections. Yeah, because if you wake up in your Junkanoo group, one day out of seven, you say, well, you know, I'm tired of pissing in the bush. Come on. And stop choosing those persons who you think you like and identify people who can be able to assist you with progression and growth. Then you could be able to see yourself moving forward. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
The foundation. Foundation.
The foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back. Right after this.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Bahamas, are you ready?
Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group, along with Alpha Sounds, presents
the best of the best, Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded.
This is the biggest one-day all-Bahamian concert of the year.
Featuring KB, D-Mac, Abby,
Mama D,
Fan Sean,
Shine, 242,
The Falcon,
and more.
Mark your calendars. It's going down November the 2nd
at Super Club Breezes Ground.
Tickets now available at BahamasETickets.com
or both Beauty Shack locations.
General admission $60.
VIP Skybox and Skypods also available.
For more info, call 394-0819
or email keepthevibealive242@gmail.com.
Experience the magic once again
with more legends for one night only.
Come party with us November 2nd at Best of the Best.
Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
Last few minutes before the show, guys. If you want to be able to get in there, 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. There's a couple of texts on these lines. So this is Howard. Those who don't want Irem. Let's see if we can open this thing. Howard, those who don't want Irem Lewis in Central Grand Bahama might get a shock if Brave cut the boundaries. Some might end up in the east and others in the west. Tell them don't count the chickens before they hatch. I've seen many disliked MPs reelected, so they need to sit small until nomination day. If there is a boundary cut, Howard Grant will run for 8 Mile Rock. I can tell you right now. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you now, today, write it down. Because people tell me about it. Howard didn't cut the boundary because the constituency is too big and Bimini is continuing to be able to grow. They can make Bimini and the Berry Islands possibly something, and then 8 Mile Rock is going to sit set, and then Central Grand Bahama is going to be able to have the thing. If they cut the boundaries, I am going home to run. Independent, I may get 14 votes, 14 and a half. I'm good with it. But I will be there if they cut the boundaries. If they cut the boundaries. As you're talking like that. Let's take these quick telephone calls. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Not bad. But Mr. Grant and Mr. Obie Ferguson, right? He pulled a fast one on us on Friday, right? Weekend, right? Late Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, Brian Nose and the PLP about the memorandum of understanding and how well they did, right? And then he just glossed over this livable wage. How, you know what I'm saying? How could you praise the PLP and David yet to deliver the livable wage? You know, and you know when the union gets the livable wage, everybody gets it, right?
Yeah.
So when are we gonna have a show on the livable wage, man? You know, serious conversation and not let the prime minister talk, but everything takes time. Everything that's important to him takes time.
Everything's important to us takes time.
Everything to us takes time. But when it's important to them, it happens in a
swiftly.
New York second.
In a New York second.
Right. You know that's fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Obie Ferguson, in my view, based upon the alliance that has happened, based upon that commitment to the government that they've had, he has a responsibility now to be able to show from a public perspective that the decision that he's made to really collaborate with the PLP prior to them even getting into government was a good decision. He has that. Now, the PLP is doing their best also to show Obie Ferguson through Pia Glover role, being able to do everything that she's doing with the public service works and so forth and so on. No, she's doing good.
But Mr. Grant, mm-hmm. you know he's a great monologue boy too, right? He's a silent boy, right?
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
so come on, man. Not sell us these things, man. Ain't nothing more greater than the livable wage. From
there, no, but
delivering the livable wage.
Obie got to make you feel like he still make a good point. The PLP still on the trail and so forth. He didn't sign the thing.
Yeah, he didn't sign the thing.
It's too late.
And he's still supporting these.
Whatever the PLP can do, they can do.
That will answer. That's the most important thing for the union workers.
Livable wage?
The poor, you easy, I'm not going to sign for the poor.
The government got to value us first before they give us a livable wage.
See, everybody have an excuse for a livable wage. Why not the livable wage?
Okay, but you need to understand.
All our problems. Money
Understand this.
The crime problem, every problem.
I could do well, yeah, you maybe, know, maybe.
And what about housing? That's the deal with housing, man.
But let me ask you this question.
Serious housing problem in this country.
Let me ask you this question. What do you think the livable wage should be?
The government should be dealing with low-cost housing. I mean the rental and everything. Not middle-class behemoth struggling and things. You understand? You got a couple of dollars to invest. Why should be they doing long-term rental? They just them who needs to be doing the short.
The government was supposed to be doing rent-to-own program and long-term rental and stuff like that. I don't know if they ever got to that. I spoke to Jo Beth about it when she was the minister.
Rent-to-own program that got issues right now in the UK. That ain't working because the people them corrupt. They taking advantage. That's a scam.
Well, if it's corruption, we shouldn't do nothing.
Rent-to-own is a scam.
If we can stop doing things because corruption exists, we might as well don't do nothing. We might as well just sit down and don't do nothing. Yeah, but yeah, I won't talk about it. If you want to talk about livable wage and being able to talk about that, first and foremost, I believe that we can have to identify the value associated with this and measure it based upon the metrics of what's happening in other environments and make a determination of how much we should make. How? What's going to be the mechanism, the formula that we identify what livable wage could be in our society? How? And then is that formula sustainable? Come on, let's talk about it. If we're still in the third world status, if we're still in the developmental status, if we're still being able to talk about infrastructural development for our family islands, if we're still talking about these things that needs to happen, if we still, after one breeze blow over, have to start back up at zero, what is the livable wage that we could find that sustains this country? Let's talk about that. And if the government is in their kind of a position, they should do that. And then, OB, I want to say this to you. These are the things that you should do. Workshops, conversations about what livable wage should look like, rather than just being able to lean on the government's expertise to be able to bring that to the forefront and the technocrats that exist in that space. You got access and availability and resources available to you. Come out and talk to persons about what this could be, what this could look like, and maybe possibly create a white paper so the government can move towards that. Let's take this last telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, what are you doing, bro?
What's up, Anton?
Right here, man. Right here.
What you say?
Two of your topics. I want to make a quick comment on this. The livable wage thing, Howard. It's a real thing. And after all of the debates and discussions, many of them I was involved in, many of them I was leading. UB did a study under the current director of, I think, politics and government or something like that, that Chibago heads up at UB. They conducted a study on livable wage in the country. And livable wage would end up somewhere around $2,500, $2,600 a month, right? And that was a study that pretty much told you what it would cost to be able to live and pay your rent and buy food and all that kind of stuff while living in the over-the-hill community. You heard me, Howard?
Yeah. This ain't got nothing to do on the outskirts yet.
This ain't got nothing to do with the working-class areas. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with the middle-class areas. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with the upper-middle-class areas, certainly. Right? This was to live in the over-the-hill community, to be able to afford to pay rent, buy food, put gas in your car, pay your utility bills, that kind of stuff. So the study is already on record at UB. Like I said, we had many discussions over the shows. I would have participated in many of them as well. I'm on Chicago's show with my own recommendations. But nonetheless, and so naturally, we won't be able to, in the immediate, attain livable wage by strictly salary increase means. That would cripple the business community. And so my recommendation would have been, we have to approach that from a multi-pronged perspective, using the reduction of cost of living as a major prong, using the reduction of food, the reduction of medical care and all these kinds of things. These are all pillars that have to go into that soup, along with increase in salary so that it's more comfortable, realistically affordable for the business community to thrive and still survive, while you have consumers or end consumers or workers in the country who also...
Anton, this is a heavy conversation that you have with me. I'd like to finish this tomorrow. Let me go forward. But when you talk about the reduction of the cost of living, that's almost impossible. That I reduce, say hypothetically we identify one thing. How can I reduce the cost of tuna, hypothetically, if there is a fixed cost to this particular thing? That's one. So that means I reducing my profit margin. That's one. And then simultaneously, you want me to be able to raise...
The government would have to then, as it has been trying to do...
But if the government supplemented, if the government supplemented, that means it's still coming out of the coffers.
No, not a matter of supplementing it, Howard. It's a matter of ensuring that when the government gives tax concessions and duty reductions, that those reductions follow through at the corner levels in the stores.
I can read the thing today. I can read today. I'm going to read the study that's done by UB about the livable wage and be able to find about that. I appreciate the call.
Can I make one more comment before you go?
It's 2 o'clock, Anton. I can't make no comment.
Oh, geez. I wanted to say something on Iron Man, Iron Lewis.
All right, call me tomorrow on Godspell Life. Right? We can be able to talk about it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. I want to thank you for being able to contribute. We're going to get deeper into it as it relates to politics and being able to identify those things and talk about the prospects and ideas and leadership and so forth and so on. I believe that the Valley Boys can do this. I believe that we have the wherewithal to be able to change some stuff. And I thank you for your contribution in this state. I'm going to read up this information about the study done at UB and possibly have a conversation about livable wage within the week. Let's see if we can do that. Thanks so much for tuning in today, guys. I'm going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation, 96.9 FM radio. Have a beautiful day. We're going to see you tomorrow. Godspeed.